the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The Gospel according to Luke, chapter 18, verse 10. Two men went up into the temple to pray. And there has been a lot of praying going on in San Diego this week, as we have confronted yet again wildfires wreaking devastation, a repeat of exactly 4 years ago. But this time there was a difference. For this time our community was able to respond much better, more efficiently and swiftly. And the good news is that members of our parish whose homes were threatened are all safe and well, and their homes have not been destroyed. So we can be thankful even in the midst of those who suffer amongst us. And in the context of prayer each day, as we offer the daily mass, the priest of this parish made the special intention for those affected by the fires, for safety, and for those who were helping in every way to in the disaster. At times like this, sometimes the readings appointed for the mass on the day seem rather ironical or just jog you. Who could reckon that today's first reading, when the people of Israel were bemoaning their own natural disaster, would be the reading for this Sunday? But more bizarrely, if there is such a word, on Thursday night, as I came to read the Gospel on Thursday appointed for the week, as I announced it, which was Luke 14, chapters verses 49 to 53, it began with these words. Jesus said to his disciples, "I have come to bring fire on earth, and I wish you were blazing already." Sometimes our faith is a puzzle, isn't it? And particularly when we are faced with natural disasters or what people might call bad luck. And sometimes our faith challenges us, and sometimes it's hard to grasp. And this came to me on Monday, the beginning of all this, when, as I do several times during the week, went to gym. One of the professional trainers who knows I'm the rector of Saint, who knows I'm a priest, and often makes a funny remark about that, pointing to the television news of the bush of the wildfires, said, "Where's your man in all this? Can't he do something?" That's exactly what we find in today's first reading from the prophet Jeremiah, and how relevant this first reading is. The people of Israel had a drought. The cry went up, "Where was God?" They did acknowledge that maybe their sins were at fault, but they were still very upset that God seemed to have deserted them. And they thought he should solve their natural disaster, the drought. So I suppose my friend at the gym was not far off from the people of Jeremiah's time. For your interest, my reply to him on Monday was that God left us in charge of creation and we muck it up. That answer, of course, doesn't satisfy people who think time should always be good and God should always prevent any bad thing happening. Especially, you believe that, if you don't believe in sin. And in fact, the sort of remark my friend made at the gym is what I would expect in a gym. Because in a gym, people go to improve themselves, to achieve something through their own effort, and they will not be daunted. And perhaps most importantly, to affirm themselves, to make themselves somehow look more appealing. That's not what I go for, of course. But don't we live in a society like that, where people want to improve themselves, want to achieve something through their own efforts, and want to affirm themselves? And it's the sort of religion you find in those big churches where they preach what is called the prosperity gospel. That is, that if you believe, God will give you every material thing you need. To those who follow a mega church vision of Christianity, or those who believe that they can achieve anything they want. There is a problem with wildfires, as also with Hurricane Katrina, and even 9/11 several years ago. For such disasters don't fit in with a prosperity gospel. Those sort of things are not affirming, and they are certainly not attractive. And they are hard to reconcile with the God of that philosophy who does exactly what you want. A faith which affirms you and tells you that you can achieve whatever you want, that life will always be wonderful and comfortable, is positive stuff. But it's quite different to the faith we find in today's gospel. In today's gospel, we are taught there is such a thing as sin, and it needs to be forgiven. That alone and unaided, we cannot help ourselves. In God's Holy Catholic Church, we have the sacraments of Jesus to assist us, to help us on our pilgrim way on this earth, so that we may finally reach the perfect earth, which is heaven. And part of this pilgrimage is acknowledging our sin, in order that we may receive the loving forgiveness of God. In a recent sermon a few weeks ago, I referred to Hurricane Katrina, and I reminded us how other nations around the world looked on in amazement at how we, the greatest, most prosperous nation in the world, appeared so helpless 2 years ago in New Orleans. And not just helpless. Who among us didn't see it all on television and not think there was something wrong with our society, that we could not act when we had to? The Iron Lady, British Prime Minister Margaret Thatcher, famously said there was no such thing as society. So if there is nothing wrong with society because there's no such thing, then it is individuals that are responsible for the wrongs of this world. And that, of course, is what we call sin. How wonderful, then, that the response this week from those in authority has been quite the opposite to what happened in New Orleans 2 years ago. We can be proud of our authorities and firefighting and other emergency services this week. We might even be tempted to echo the self-praise and congratulations of the Pharisee in today's gospel. But we dare not. For a start, the areas affected by our fires were prosperous suburbs inhabited mainly by white Americans with good jobs and having nice homes. A vast contrast to New Orleans 2 years ago. So our response must be that of the tax collector, who acknowledged that he was a sinner in need of God's mercy. And who can among us can say with any certainty that both Hurricane Katrina and our wildfires are not part of the worldwide climate change caused by our society in its onward march for bigger and better things? And if that is the case, then we do need to acknowledge that we have sinned. Another Christian word parallel with sin is sacrifice. And when we come to the Mass, we see sin being overtaken by sacrifice as we offer this holy sacrifice. Sacrifice is evident this week, and it makes sense of what happened. We saw people putting themselves in danger, putting themselves before others, serving their neighbours, people girding themselves and washing others' feet as Jesus did. In a self-affirming philosophy of life, this makes no sense. For self-affirmation, in the end, is only about self. But in the Catholic faith, we know that when we put another before ourselves, we are blessed. When we sacrifice for the greater good, we all benefit. And when we give away, we receive more than ever. And so after a week of earnest prayer, we came to the Friday morning Mass here in the chapel, which, as always, is a Mass of the Holy Cross. As the fog lifted and the blue skies returned to San Diego, Mass was offered in commemoration of Jesus' death on the cross. And it all made sense. For on the cross, Jesus took all the pain and the suffering of the world and sanctified it. For in his own body, our sins and failings, so that we might have faith in a loving God. Yes, our faith in a loving God is often challenged by natural disaster, and certainly when life is difficult. But our faith in Jesus will always get us through the ordinary challenges of life, through the devastating force of nature in a hurricane or a wildfire, even in the mystery of evil we saw on 9/11, and always in man's inhumanity to man. And usually when we endure such suffering with faith, we find we come close to God and closer to each other, and in the end are wiser, more compassionate, and more loving. And that is why we are disciples of Christ on a cross. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.